So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
The first time I thought I was going to die, I was 12 years old. And I say the first time because this was not the only time my mother put me in a life or death situation. My mother's name is Sally, and she came from a very wealthy Southern family. And about the time she graduated from college, my grandfather started getting really ill, and he started having these paranoid delusions that someone was going to kidnap his daughters, like the Lindbergh baby. So he started giving all of his money away, even though both of his daughters were married and out of college and had families. So I didn't grow up with a ton of money, but my mother, because my mother was wealthy, she raised us as if we were wealthy. We were the only kids in private school who had to wear the same outfits every day. And not because it was a uniform, but because literally, like, I had two outfits. I had this long sleeve purple Panama Jack t-shirt back when they were cool. And I had another one that was kind of like a magenta purple Michael Jackson Thriller shirt that was a hand-me-down from my sister. And because of this, my mother was always trying to come up with these ways for us to get rich. And one time, a man was kidnapped near where we lived and being held for ransom. And the family put up a really large reward for anybody who had any information leading to his whereabouts. So my mother decides that if anybody is going to get that cash, it might as well be us. About 2 months before, she had read an article in the Reader's Digest about a woman who'd been kidnapped and buried alive. Now, no cut to the Reader's Digest, but this is like rural South Carolina, and every redneck in the 1980s with a third grade education read the Reader's Digest. And the thing that was really stupid about this article is it had like step-by-step instructions on how the guy went about burying this woman alive. I mean, it was like illustrated, and it had like the exact size and amount of tubing you'd need to siphon sufficient air into the box unit. I mean, it said it was like, oh, you have to bury the person with beef jerky and water to keep them alive. So my mother gets this idea in her head that whoever abducted this guy must have read this article too. And it wasn't just like an idea. I mean, it was like, this is what happened. He read this article and he went and did this. So my mother starts going around town and asking people, like, where is there a lot of soft soil? And if you were gonna dump a dead body or bury somebody alive, where would you do it? So she narrows it down to this little landfill that was just outside of town. And she decides to go out there and check it out. And she takes me with her. So we arrive at the landfill, which just so happens to be located in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's like way off the main road. You had to drive like miles and miles down this dirt road. And this is like Carolina deep pine forest hillbilly. And you get to the landfill, and it's like filled with like old appliances and garbage, and it's disgusting. And like on three sides, it's surrounded by these really, really dense woods. Now, calculating through the mind of a criminal, my mother decides that we're gonna search the outlying wooded areas first. So we search for about an hour, and by that time, it's getting late, I'm starting to get tired, I wanna go home, I don't even really know what we're supposed to be looking for. And somehow I convince her to go home. So we start heading back to the car, and all of a sudden we come across this mound of dirt. It's about 5 inches high, like maybe 3 feet across, and like 6 feet long. And looks like somebody has tried to conceal it with like dried leaves and twigs and branches. After a further investigation, my mother produces an empty beef jerky container and a milk carton dated the week of the abduction. So no, now she is like convinced that this is where the guy's buried. I mean, there's no doubt in her mind that that guy's under there. So she gets down on all fours. She starts talking into the ground. Hello? Hello? Is anybody down there? Hello? As she's doing this, I hear a car approach. I hear a car door slam and what sounds like two men having a conversation. And my mother grabs me by the back of my neck and she pulls me to the ground. Birkin, stay low and be quiet. So here we are, two women alone in the woods, you know, looking for living graves in the middle of very rural South Carolina, circa 1980, whatever. And I think she's at this point really starting to question her judgment. Me, I'm like totally scared shitless. I mean, she has me crawling along the ground at top speed and, you know, I can hear the men talking and my mother's talking to herself and she's going, oh shit, it's them. They've come to check on the body, we're fucked. Oh my God, what have I done? What have I done to my baby? All of a sudden, everything goes completely dead silent. The guys stop talking, they stop walking, there's not a noise at all. Now, it is really starting to get dark. I mean, it is full on dusk, and I don't know if you know anything about the ecology of South Carolina, but it's very similar to Texas in that this is like full on rattlesnake, copperhead, cottonmouth feeding time of day. And it's dark and spooky, and even though it's light out, it's like you can barely see the trees that, like California, I mean, the Carolina pine trees are so dense that you can barely see the sky poking through. And it's that kind of scary that's like impossible to get away from because you're like in it. It's like 100% around you. And just as I'm starting to like breathe for the first time in what seems like forever, I hear a gun go off. And not just go off, it like hits the bark on the tree stump right behind my mother's head and like bark explodes everywhere. And my mother just looks at me and she's like, oh my God, Birkin, run! So I start running, and I'm running as fast as I can, and there's like, literally there's bullets whizzing over my head, and like there's leaves blowing up all over the place, and you know, I'm breathing, I can't breathe, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is it, you know? This is how I'm going to die. This is how it's gonna end, and I'm wondering if it's gonna be too painful, and I keep glancing back at my mother, who's lagging behind, and she's like, run, run, save yourself, and her hair is flying all over the place. Yeah, she looks like something out of like some horror movie. It's horrible, and she's really not running as fast as she needs to be running. And we finally get to the clearing. We're totally out of breath, and I can see my mom's like maroon Pontiac station wagon. It's only like a few yards away when we see them. These two men, and they're sitting on the back of a pickup truck, and they're laughing, and they're drinking beer, and they're shooting into two little paper targets they've like taped up into the embankment. And I'm telling you, they were pretty drunk because they were like missing it all together. They were just like, woo, 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 woo. So we're standing there. I'm looking at my mother, she's looking at me, we're looking at the guys, and I think, well, that was stupid. I mean, here, I think we're on the brink of death, and it's just these two rednecks having a fucking turkey shoot. You know, and I was 12, so I was sort of disappointed that it wasn't as romantically tragic as it seemed. So, about a week later, the family made a drop-off point with the kidnappers of the man, and the police, they get there, they dump the money under a bridge, just like you see in the movies. The kidnappers come, they take the money, they leave nobody behind. The kidnappers and the man who was kidnapped were never heard from again. And my mother and I, that day in the woods, we immediately left and went to a gas station where my mother was crying and she was telling them the whole story. And these sheriff's guys were like, oh, honey, what you saw, that was nothing. You just saw a dog's grave out there. They were laughing at my mom. And then about, you know, every time I start thinking about this story, you know, I start to think like, gosh, my mom and I have told this story so many times, like dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And sometimes it's hard in storytelling to differentiate between like what was really happened and what you're elaborating on and sort of grows. But I am telling you, if you find my mother to this very day and ask her, she's gonna tell you that that guy is out there behind that landfill, rotting. Thank you.